So then, let's inquire carefully into the origin of all this, because before we explore the future of communication through symbols, through words, we've got to look a little bit at its past. At some point in the development of mankind, and nobody historically knows how long ago this is, we developed two things. One of them was the ability to scan, to pay attention, to use our consciousness in a focused way. In other words, to notice what's going on. Ordinarily, we depend to an enormous extent on a kind of consciousness that doesn't notice. That is to say, you're functioning all the time, breathing, beating your heart, even driving a car while you're absorbed in conversation with your friendly passenger. You're doing an enormous number of things very well indeed without noticing what you're doing. Your entire physical existence, as a matter of fact, goes on and maintains itself without your noticing anything about it. So your faculty of noticing has the same relationship to your total organism as, say, on a ship. The radar is scanning the environment, looking for trouble. That's all it looks for. For another ship that it might collide with, for a rock, for the proper entrance to San Francisco in the middle of the fog. That's what the radar is looking for. But besides the radar, there are all kinds of things going on a ship that are much more fundamental and essential to it. So in the same way in the human organism, we have a radar. We call it conscious attention. And we are constantly scanning our environment and noticing this and that as to whether it is advantageous to us or disadvantageous. But that's only a little frippery on the top of us. Useful, yes, important, but it's not you. The real you is the you that is beating the heart, shaping the bones, all that. And we have learned, you see, by a curious social process, to identify ourselves, our very selves, what I say is the real me. We've identified that with the scanning process, the little radar job, instead of identifying it with the whole total organism. And therefore we are estranged from our own bodies. And by virtue of being estranged from the body, we are in turn estranged from the physical environment of nature. If you understood, if you really clearly realized that you are your own organism, you would at the same moment feel, because your organism knows it, that you were one with your environment. This organism is related to the world outside it in exactly the same way that, say, a whirlpool in a river is related to the river. Everything outside you is sort of creating you by flowing through you and humaning, bodying, just as when the river moves, it whirlpools and then goes on. So the entire physical universe is peopling all around here, you see. But conscious attention doesn't deliver that to us as an experience. Why? Because conscious attention or noticing is a function of consciousness which is separative instead of unitive. It analyzes instead of synthesizing. I don't want to, by saying this sort of thing, to put it down and say it's a mistake and something that shouldn't have happened. It's a very beautiful function, provided it doesn't annihilate and distract us from seeing the world synthetically as well as analytically. In a mirror, you can see many images, all different, clear, and distinct. But underneath the difference of images, there lies the pure silver of the mirror. So in exactly the same way, seeing all the details clearly analyzed, we need to remain aware of consciousness itself, of awareness itself. Just as, for example, all galaxies, all physical bodies exist in space. What do you think space is? Most people think space is nothing. Space, however, is you. Space is consciousness. Space is the mind. Space is what you call self, me. That's space. And it includes everything. But you can so easily forget it, because conscious attention ignores every stimulus, every input message that is constant. It rules it out, says, that doesn't make any difference. I'm looking for differences, because I'm on guard for what might threaten my existence. Therefore, I'm looking for a change in the environment. I'm a troubleshooter. So if you identify yourself with consciousness, you are constantly anxious. What's going to happen? Is it going to work? Am I on the spot? You see, everybody's like that. But the real you is relaxed. It really doesn't care about that. It's got this little function up there that tells it, you know, on the whole, whether there's any trouble going to happen. Really, inside you, deep down, you're harmonious with your environment. And it really doesn't matter whether you live or die, because the whole system goes on anyway. And that's what you are. So whether you, as a specific example of the system, go on a little while, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 50 years, 100 years, it doesn't really make any difference. If you want to play it, in other words, if you want to put a gamble on how long will you live, do you want to gamble on 50 years more, or how many years more? You say, by gambling on it, you put importance on it. You say, that's what I've wagered on. That's what I want to do. Okay. But that's your game. It doesn't have to be that way. So what we have then is a situation in which, by the ability to use our radar to scan ourselves and the world around us, and to notice features of this universe, we notice these features by being able to put symbols on them. You notice the face as something distinct from the knees by being able to call it face, and call knees, knees. You do not have the capacity to notice these different features of the human body without being able to assign some symbol to the part that you notice. This is absolutely crucial. Noticing and language go together. Noticing is the same thing as what we call notation. Notation, as in music. Symbols, little signs to identify sounds on a scale. Words to identify bits of the world. Numbers to identify how many bits. All this goes together. So to attend, to concentrate, to watch, to be aware in the way that a spotlight focuses on the surroundings. This goes hand in hand with symbols. One uses the world of symbols, the world of special noises, not like ordinary noises, not like the sound of the wind, not like the washing of the waves, but the noises made by speech to create a separate, almost separate world of noise forms, which of course we can think silently in our heads, subvocally, as thought forms. They're all the same. It's forms of noise, forms of air vibration used to stand over against the world of ordinary, direct physical experience and represent it in a clumsy way. Clumsy, yes, clumsy, because conscious attention as a scanning thing, as a spotlight roving over, however fast it goes, tickety-tick, 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 all around. As I watch you, if somebody measures where my eyes look, it can be done. They will see them dancing over you, picking out significant points. But that way of looking at life can only comprehend what's going on in a very clumsy way. Because the actual physical world is an operation where we would say uncountable, innumerable things are going on all together, everywhere at once. And so we say, what a complicated world we live in. Now, actually, this world is not complicated at all. It is perfectly simple. It's only complicated when you try to think it out. That's what it means. Complicated, the word complicated, expresses a relationship between the physical world on the one hand and on the other a scanning system which is trying to understand and represent in symbols the physical world bit by bit, as, for example, if we would talk about it. So when you try to talk about the world, it's a complicated world, but only because you're trying to talk about it. In itself, it's not a bit complicated. The human body is a, from the point of view of surgery and physiology, infinitely complicated. Its networks of veins and nerves and so on is absolutely extraordinary. But we say these words extraordinary and complicated because we are confronted with the task of trying to translate this body into language. And language is very clumsy. It's like if we would say we would move the Pacific Ocean into the Atlantic Ocean with a beer mug. It would be a very complicated thing to do because we'd have to take it mug by mug across, fly them across by jet plane and dump them in the Atlantic. It'd be very complicated. But that's what you do when you think about the world. You take thing by thing, fact by fact, idea by idea, and it's like beer mug after beer mug of water going from the Pacific to the Atlantic. So we say it's complicated. It isn't. It's only if you approach it with a certain method, then it's complicated. Because you insist on that method. And you say, well, that method is me. I am the method of taking in the world bit by bit. But that's a hallucination. You're not. Each one of you includes far more capacity than that narrow method of taking in the world bit by bit. Because every nerve end in your body is alive and aware. Every organ is functioning without your thinking about it. And that's you. So because we have a narrowed idea and conception of ourselves as purely the conscious scanner, we've invested so much emotion in that, and we've invested so much of the feeling that that is what we are, that we are completely miserable and tormented Our communication system, therefore, is constantly exaggerating, or to use the word in its very correct way, aggravating. To aggravate means to make worse. It is aggravating all the time the delusion that we are separate from the world. In other words, communication, as we are using it, is a form of non-communication. It's a way of cutting ourselves off instead of actually communicating. The more we talk, the more we think, the more we ideate, the more we separate ourselves from each other. I identify you as you, as you, as you, and you're a Republican, you're a Democrat, you're a beatnik, you're a hippie, you're a this, that, and the other thing, you're a square, or whatever. The more I identify you, you see, in these terms, the more I don't feel that you are me. You really, physically, are me. All of you, each one to everybody else, is like a dewdrop on a spider's web in the early morning, which contains in itself all the reflections of all the other dewdrops. And we really relate to each other like that. But in language, in communication, we all put ourselves apart as separate entities. See? And believe that. So the more we go on with this, the more we are divided up. The more we quarrel, the more we don't understand how to cooperate. So here we start with this paradox. Communication, which is related to the word communion, common, what we have together, communication is separation. And the more we talk, the less we understand each other.